Brought to you by Big Comedy Network.
Hey, it's me, Yamini, and you're listening to Pillow Fight. If you want more of us, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Pillow Fight Pod. If you love us, leave us a review in the Apple Podcast app or wherever you listen to podcasts. We've got an amazing episode in store for you, so buckle up. Thanks so much for listening.
Pillow Fight, Pillow Fight.
Yours made of goose.
We got feathers flying everywhere.
Mine's made of goose.
Pillow fight, pillow fight.
This is so fun.
We're pillow fighting.
Why is this so fun?
Pillow fight.
Today on Pillow Fight, I'm joined by Leva Pierce, a Chicago-based comedian known for some of your favorite viral Twitter videos. We did sketch and improv together in college, and now they're a huge, huge star. So in case you are dubious, I can confirm that they're actually very tall. You can find more of them on Instagram and TikTok at ChoppedLeva and on Twitter at RealChoppedLeva. We really dig our fingers into it this episode with conversations about Disney scandals, fashion for dogs, and our celebrity doppelgangers.
Fuck. Marry. Kill. Fuck, marry, kill.
So for fuck, marry, kill, you told me that you are an Olivia Rodrigo. I don't know. You didn't say, are you a fan of Olivia Rodrigo?
I am. Yeah, I am.
I think she kind of appeals to everyone, but she is making me feel really glad for young people because I remember when we were growing up, like Disney stars weren't allowed to do like anything. And Olivia Rodrigo isn't even doing anything wild, but I just think it's great that she gets to like exist as a human being and doesn't have to be like a weird Disney robot. So I thought for the fuck, marry, kill, we should talk about some of the Disney girl scandals.
Oh, yeah.
First off, in 2010, a video leaked of Miley Cyrus smoking salvia from a bong, which I had to look up what salvia was because at first I thought Us Weekly was just misspelling sativa. But for anyone who doesn't know, salvia is a cousin of mint. It's native to southern Mexico and it has hallucinogenic properties. But when Miley Cyrus was asked about the scandals, she said something to the effect of like, my fans aren't Miley, so I can't be Miley. I have to be a role model, which is very sad. Number two, Cheetah Girls actress Adrienne Bailon, I don't know how to say her name. I should have looked that up before I did this, leaked her own nudes in 2008 with the help of her then publicist. So at the time, she wanted out of the Disney star, like nice girl cage. So she pretended her laptop was stolen and then released nude photos of herself that she pretended were leaked by like so-called thief. Third one, technically this is Nickelodeon, but I'm going to throw it in because it's kind of the same vibe. In 2007, 16-year-old Jamie Lynn Spears got pregnant and decided to keep the baby. And because she was the titular character of Zoe 101, which is a kid's show, they decided they didn't want to explain teen pregnancy to the viewers and they canceled the show. So fuck, marry, kill, Miley Cyrus's bong video, the Cheetah Girls nude leak, and Zoe 101's baby, what would you do?
Oh my God. Okay, wait, the nude leak, she leaked it herself? Wait, what? Mm-hmm. Okay.
She wanted to like cause a scandal that would force her out of the Disney trap. So she leaked her own nudes and pretended someone else did them.
Okay, I like that she wants to leave the world. I would marry that. She wants a private life, you know? And I respect that. the other two. I'm in a between a rock and a hard place because I don't really want to hook up with Miley Cyrus, but...
You don't have to hook up with Miley Cyrus. You just, it's like the concept of her being a scandalous teen.
Just the concept of her. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I guess. Yeah. Then fuck that. And then I guess kill Jamie Lynn, but I don't want to kill a pregnant woman. I want to kill the, restrictive forces that and the scary forces that led to because it's very sinister. I don't think we ever found out. I mean, I understand not wanting to reveal the father, but it is a little sketchy, and I hope she's okay now. That was all very sad.
Her daughter is like on TikTok and posting videos and people are so mean to her. They're like, you're the reason like our favorite show got canceled. And I'm like,
what?
I don't think you're the reason. I think it's like Nickelodeon corporate that was like, we don't want to do this and it's a kid's show and you are a misbehaving teen.
That's so, yeah, of course not. Oh my God. Wait, but then I feel like I heard, wait, this could be actually not true. But someone said that Jamie Lynn was kind of mean in the Britney doc. But I don't know if that was true.
I heard that too. I think nowadays, I don't know if we're Jamie Lynn Spears stands. Back then, you know, I was rooting for her.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no, no. Oh, yeah, that was just so, yeah. And also, I feel like now, when people are pregnant, they just keep the show rolling. They just shoot from the waist up, from like the chest up.
They make them like hold things in front of their stomach, or yeah.
Or they like shoot them. It's like from behind a desk.
And when January Jones was pregnant on Mad Men, they just wrote in a storyline of her gaining a ton of weight and having like a body image crisis. When Zooey Deschanel was pregnant in New Girl, they just replaced her with Megan Fox for a season. Which was funny. So I think, yeah, they keep the shows. I think it was just because it was a kids show that they didn't want to do that, because they didn't want to like have the kids know that a 16-year-old was pregnant. But like, I don't think they would have known.
And listen, we were watching Degrassi too. And I mean, people were getting pregnant pretty much every day on that show.
And there's also like Secret Life of the American Teenager was airing around the same time, you know?
Yeah, we knew that teens got pregnant.
Yeah. So I think I would fuck the Cheetah Girls nude photo leak, because I think that's like a badass bitch move. I think that's powerful. Yeah. And I think it's like kind of iconic to leak your own nudes and just be like, you know what, there's nude photos out there and now I'm done, and kind of just take your fate into your own hands. I think that's hot. I think it's not the way I'd live my life forever, so I wouldn't marry it, but I think it's definitely a good fuck. And then I would marry the Miley Cyrus bong video, just because like, I don't know, it's like she's just chilling, smoking a little interesting little plant that's minty and hallucinogenic, and that sounds kind of peaceful. And I wish that she was able to do that without having to say that she can't be herself.
Yeah,
she had so many scandals like this back in the day. I remember she posed in a towel on the cover of Vanity Fair and people were so mad at her, and
yeah,
they did not get any chance to be themselves. But just, you know, being a teen and smoking, I was just like, you know, that's kind of just life. So I'd marry it. And I'd also kill the Zooey 101 situation, just because like, I just think that's like fucked up, because she was 16. And I think canceling the show, making a huge deal out of it, like only made her get more flack.
I know. I remember it's all over People and like every, you know, tabloid.
And they were like, we can't write her out of the show. And I was like, you don't really need to. She can go on, like, she can go study abroad from PCA for a semester and have it be about other people and then come back also. It's like, you're not being creative enough. And I don't vibe with that. You're just wanting to like end this girl's career because she got pregnant. And that's mean.
And I remember it ending very abrupt. I mean, oh my God, the time capsule episode. That was crazy. him, what did he do? He like wrote or recorded I Love You, but then put it in the time capsule. And then but she never saw it or whatever.
Did it end with her finding out, like they reconnected, and or did they not?
I think they do. What's that guy's name on the show?
Is it like Chase?
Yeah, I feel like Chase.
That was also where Victoria Justice got her start.
Yes, yes.
So this is another thing, is because that show ended, they're like, let's give Victoria Justice a show, and they made Victorious. So I like Victorious, but I don't think Victoria Justice should have been the star of it.
I mean, especially given what we know now about a certain someone on the show with star potential.
And do you remember when Ariana Grande and Liz Gillies would sing together?
It was so good. Victoria Justice, good for her, because wherever she is, I have no idea. I haven't like seen her words or like seen her speak in like years.
I think last year was the 10-year anniversary of Victorious, and she posted on Instagram for it. And I was like, oh, I don't think any of these people ever like talk to you, because it seems like everyone else is still besties except for her.
I appreciate the way she has vanished into the night. I have no idea what she does today. Does she still act? I love it though.
I felt that way about Miranda Cosgrove, and now she's coming back.
I think take the Disney money and then go live in a house and read books all day, because you don't have to work. That's what I would do.
Just like be a child laborer and then you're set for life.
Wow. Are Disney stars like the modern day from like the factory worker? You know, when you're like in like high school, you learn about like how the kids had to work in the factory because their hands were so small and nimble, they could like get between the machine parts on like the assembly line. I remember that so vividly, my teacher being like, yes, and because they had small fingers, they could reach in between the gears and like fix the parts that were broken. It was like, oh my God. Is that Disney?
I think it's just glamorous child labor for sure. Because I don't know, like you hear about these stories of a lot of the Disney stars, like Jeanette McCurdy. Well, she's Nickelodeon, Disney, same deal. But Jeanette McCurdy from iCarly, she said that she was only acting because her mom like forced her into it to pay the bills. And she's like really embarrassed that of every role she's ever done, she didn't really want to do it. So
bleak.
I think there's bleak. A lot of pressure in there that's like definitely child labor. And also the kids don't get to keep a lot of the money. Like I think their parents, like it doesn't go into like a savings fund for them or anything like that. Like I think their parents take a lot of it. So that's kind of like whack to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of these kids, they're stars. You know, the show Fuller House, the Full House spin-off?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
I'm a weirdo who watched that show in entirety because I loved Full House and I found it very nostalgic to watch. There's a little boy in it who I just think he's the future. Like he is going to be a star one day. And the fact that I know that his parents are just like pocketing that cash somewhere.
It's really dark. The life of a child star. Wait, I have a question because Kimmy was my favorite character on Full House. Did she come back?
Yeah, she came back.
I love her. She was huge for me as a kid.
Kimmy was an icon. I liked Stephanie the best. I feel like I saw myself most in Stephanie, but
Yeah.
The only people who didn't return were the Olsen twins.
I mean, speaking of child stars who had no idea what they were doing, they were like four on that show.
They like popped out the womb and were on that show. Like,
yeah, of course they're not going to want to be defined by that.
And then they had Aunt Becky in it, but they took her out after the college admission scandal. But they just didn't address it. They just kind of like made Jesse a single dad without saying anything about her anymore.
Like mid-season?
I don't remember when it happened, but I think it was like before the third season. And he just like started showing up with their kid, like, cause they have a new baby in this.
Oh, good for them. Congrats.
Sorry to spoil Fuller House for any listeners. I know people are just really upset with me right now, but
I'm so sorry guys. If you were waiting to watch Fuller House and Yamini just absolutely crushed any plan you had, I'm so sorry to you because God, you probably would have had an amazing time watching it.
I know.
And now it's probably all ruined for you. And that sucks for you. That really sucks for you.
I'm a villain.
Yeah. Cruella remake. Not starring. Who you think?
Cruella remake. It's just me spoiling like family sitcoms.
In a big fur coat.
I want like a fur coat and a little like a tiny hat.
Yeah. That you put on a horse. You know when you see the horses with the mini hat top hats?
Yes. Yes.
Now that I'm saying that, I'm like, what context did I ever see a horse like that? But the image is in my head.
And it's in my head too.
You know, we all know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Imagine what your job being a fashion designer for animal clothes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there really are. I always think of it as like, oh, they must be making human clothes too. But no, there's probably people who definitely specialize in it.
I think a lot of them probably tried to make human clothes, flopped, and they were like, you know, animal clothes, people aren't as picky. The market isn't as saturated. So here I can break in.
But you know, there's also people who have like a real passion for it.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's people who get into it for the love of it. Because like some people's love of animals is terrifying.
Yeah. I think there are also people who are really into doll clothes making. Like there are people who specialize in that.
Yeah.
So it definitely is a similar sort of thing. I just feel like designing costumes for animals, it would be such a funny little life, you know?
Absolutely be hilarious. Yeah.
If any of you design animal clothes, let me know because
if any of you design animal clothes, your life is a joke to us. No, I'm sure. I mean, I would love to meet like the who is like the Prada? Who is like the okay. I tried to come up with even one more fashion brand and I couldn't.
I think Prada makes dog clothes on its own. I think there probably is Prada for dogs.
Oh, I'm sure. Of course, yeah, Prada for dogs.
Like I want to look it up. I gotta know.
And then I'm sure there's also like dupes of Prada. There's also people who just make We're not Prada.
Yes. Oh, there's a Versace little dog sweater that's $325.
Awesome. I love that we have that.
You can put your dog in this little hoodie. It's a raincoat. Okay, that's kind of cute though. Like, okay. I'm feeling weird. I feel like I've been having a lot of pet fever in the pandemic because I just really want something soft to snuggle. I have blankets and I have soft animals, but like I want something that'll like lick my leg.
We got a cat. She's been like wreaking havoc on the house because so we got her like in the winter. We adopted her from someone actually who died. someone died, and then their daughter set up a picture of her on like a mutual aid like Facebook page, and we found her that way. And it was great for a while. Like, she's so sweet, she's so cuddly, and she's like 10 years old, so she's like more mellow, and she's just like really sweet, isn't very shy, like wants to hang out. But then like I don't even know when it started, like 3 weeks ago or maybe a month ago, she just starts peeing on our beds. She's peed, I think, on each of our beds at least 3 or 4 times, if not more. So, like, cumulatively, I can't say cumulative. Cumulatively, I think it's been, like 12 or 14 times that she's peed on a bed.
Yeah, that's a lot
of times. That's a lot of times. I've washed my sheets so many times. We all have to shut our doors when we leave the house. Like, she can't be alone. She's not allowed to be in anyone's room alone anymore. It hasn't happened in a little while. It's terrible, though.
I think maybe it's like a lesson to teach you all to wash your sheets more often, because I feel like I never wash mine. And
no, actually, I will say I did wash my sheets weekly, which was first.
Does she pee in her own bed?
No, she does not. It's just us. Yeah, we're trying a lot. Like, we're moving the litter box around. We're like trying to put odor neutralizer, because apparently also it's like once a cat pees somewhere, they smell, they come back to the place. Even if you like wash everything, they can still smell like the residue. I don't even know. So then they come back and they're like, oh my God, wait, did I pee here? And they're like reminded that they peed there. And so they're like, oh my God, wait, this is a toilet. And then they're like, I'm going to pee here again. And so that's the problem. It's like, if they pee on your bed once, they will keep coming back.
Okay. That's kind of iconic though. Yeah. Just like,
I'll be like, oh my God, wait, I invented a new bathroom.
Well, I'm sorry that you've had so much pee in your bed.
It hasn't happened in a while, so hopefully, knock on wood.
I'm imagining like you invite someone over, you know, someone over, you know, winky wink, and then they're like, "Did you wet the bed?" And you have to be like, "No, it's your cat."
Yeah, hasn't happened, but could.
I mean, I hope it doesn't happen, but I think it's just funny to think about.
But just know that is definitely a side of having a pet. And also she throws up everywhere, but that's separate. At least it's not in the bed usually.
Yeah. I just think that if I had someone else to take care of, maybe I would actually take care of myself. Does that make sense? You're looking at me like, no, that's not going to work.
I mean, you think if you have someone, something to like love, like a little object to love and put all your affection into, that it will like make you a better person and therefore you will treat yourself better.
I'm just like, I would want to get out of bed so I could go and make them happy, and like I would want to do more things so that they could enjoy themselves. And I would want to, like, if it was a dog, I'd want to like go and I would want to take it on walks, and then I would go out of the house, because I don't know, this past year I have really done nothing, and my self-care has really disintegrated into like just sleeping all day, and like if I'm starving, eating something and like going outside when I need to accomplish a task not for fun. And
So it's like the routine of the animal will like get you back into your life.
Yeah. And I would I would feel happy that I was like giving this animal something.
Also, something that's haunting me is the comment that I said when I said your life is a joke to us about clothes designers. if the animal designers are still listening, I just want to say that was that was a cynical thing to say, and that was that I shouldn't have tossed that off. And your life is not a joke. No human life is a joke. And especially not those who clothe animals as your livelihood. I see your humanity, and I love you guys.
You bring joy to a lot of people and a lot of animals too.
No, seriously. I mean, I think that must be so rewarding to like fit a dog just right.
Okay. This is like fine to me. What's weird is when people dye their dog's hair. Have you seen like pink huskies?
Yeah, I've heard there's like humane dyes, which I'm like, okay, but you're still forcing your animal to go through. It's like, I think the process is the, I don't care how like the dye is made. It's still like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Let's play a game of Would You Rather.
So this week on Twitter, a random girl posted a tweet saying that Issa Rae wasn't attractive, and it got some traction, and eventually Issa saw it. And her response was that the girl who posted the original tweet looked just like her, which was like kind of true. Honestly, Issa is a like upgraded version of the girl who posted the original tweet, which I just think is hilarious. But that leads me to, would you rather have someone you think is good looking publicly tell you you're not, or constantly get told that you look like someone that you think is not good looking?
Oh, definitely the second one. I don't want someone I respect calling me ugly. I've had people, many people have said I looked like David Dobrik, which obviously it's a hard hit, right? It's a pretty lethal hit. I have survived it, and so I think I can take
congrats on making it through that. I don't think people are going to tell you that anymore now that David Dobrik is like in the trash can,
or they will too. I feel like I would get a lot of quote tweets that were like, haha, this chick looks like David Dobrik, lol. Like, so I think they would continue to do that because I don't think they were trying to connect. I think they were trying to kind of dunk.
When I was like on TikTok at the beginning of the pandemic, everyone would tell me that I look like Dixie D'Amelio, which was the strangest thing that I didn't understand. It makes no sense to me. But
I can't even picture her face. Sorry, Dixie. I have a tab open that is an article about LA influencers. Haven't read it yet, but I'm planning on getting there.
I think the TikTok market has really changed celebrity culture, and I'm not loving it. I'm like, was a celebrity gossip junkie, and now it's like, if I open Snapchat news, it just tries to tell me everything that like Bryce Hall is doing, and I don't want to know. I want to know what like Paris Hilton is doing.
I feel like we have had it with YouTube stars and like Vine stars were kind of the predecessor. Like, I feel like, but now I do think with TikTok, it has maybe become even, the internet celebrity has gotten even more power, I guess.
I think it's also that like TikTok celebrities have way more of a platform than like the YouTuber Vine people ever did at the time, because now social media is so much more powerful and TikTok has so many users, and like Charlie has like 100 million something like that people following her, and that's like insane to comprehend for just someone, so like a kid who's making random videos. So it's like Addison Rae is hanging out with the Kardashians, like the YouTubers, it was still like they were definitely like on another level below celebrities, but now it's strange that these kids are like becoming celebrities, and it's like all the news is just they're like high school drama, and I'm just like go to the cafeteria and talk this out, besties, like I don't need to know.
Yeah, the pull quote from this article that, again, I haven't read, I think they, like, interview a bunch of influencers, and what made me click on it was they had this quote that was like, yeah, we're doing this, but it's like, we don't know how long it could last. We don't know how long people will care. We don't know what comes after this. Like,
yeah. Kind of.
And it's true. What is next going to come? I mean, it seems like a lot of them are now just gonna, you know, get absorbed into Netflix or like get deals or.
But I would also rather get told I look like someone that I think is not good looking, because this happens a lot and I just blame it on racism.
Right.
It's easy to, because I think the first one, it's like, oh shit, like someone is just calling me out. And especially if it's someone that I think is hot, it's like that would hurt. But if random people always tell me that I look like someone I think is icky looking, especially if they're like, people will say the weirdest things about who I look like, and I'm always just like, okay, I think that you just don't know brown people, and so you're like, you just assume that the first brown person you see is my like twin. Things are opening up again and like the rates are going down. It's very exciting, but it's also very terrifying. I'm really struggling to do things that used to be very easy for me. I can barely meet up with someone without feeling like I need to like jump out of my skin. So I want to know if you'd rather spend the next 4 years in isolation, like early quarantine, like you get the internet, maybe like one other person to live with. Actually, no, you have to be alone, but you get the internet, or you spend the next 4 years like never able to be alone at all. Like you're always surrounded by people socializing.
I think I'm always going to be socializing. That's what I've been doing. So I just got fully vaccinated and that's what I've been doing so far.
Yeah.
I think I definitely like being alone. Mm-hmm. But especially cause you know, I like to go on summer break. Woo. I never want to be this alone again. I don't know. I think I'm definitely someone who it's easier for me to like do tasks and like sit down and do things once I have like talked to someone that day or like had some sort of like social stimuli, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think like I really am a more functioning person when I can be out in the world and seeing people. And
yeah.
So I think it was hard for me to have so much time to plan, I think is not good for me. And I like having, it's like, okay, I'm like seeing this person or I'm like doing this thing later. So I'm like going to work now or I'm going to work after I see, I don't know. I just think like for work life, this is so dull, for work life balance. I need the life. And for me, life is the people. So,
okay. I was going to say, I'd rather just spend the next 4 years in isolation with the internet, because I was like, the thought of being around people all the time is like so anxiety provoking to me right now. But when you said the thing about doing work and being able to do it better after you talk to people, I'm like, so true, because I literally can't get out of bed until noon most days nowadays, because I just don't have anyone to talk to or anywhere to go. Or, you know, I'm like in my parents' house with no friends around. So I have to like drive to LA to see anyone that I would want to see. And so it's like a whole endeavor. And at that point I'm just like exhausted. But if I had to constantly be around people, I would kind of have to just get over it and muster up the energy and do shit, which I think I would be crabby a lot of the time. I think I'd be kind of mean to people when I get irritated, but I think I would be more fulfilled. It also depends on who you're never like allowed to be alone with. Like if it's my besties, that's one thing. But if it's like someone, like a bunch of people I don't like.
Right. I mean, you made the question. So who is it? Who is it with, you think?
I think it's a mix of both. You're just like never alone.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, never alone?
Like never alone. Never alone. Never ever alone.
Like not even when you go to bed.
Yeah.
Not even when you go to bed. No. Okay. I still take that. Yeah.
Yeah, I just like am the kind of person where I know like to go on a trip with someone and like it's been a long time. At the end of the week, I'm like I've seen too much of you.
For sure.
But I guess if I could switch up the people I got to be never alone with.
Yeah, if you could switch. Yeah, exactly.
It's like people take shifts.
And you can be with someone and just be like, we're going to be quiet now.
Like doing work with other people though is good. I like doing that. Cause then I have someone surveilling me, you know?
Surveillance can actually be a good thing
sometimes. I think like buddy surveillance is helpful. It's accountability.
When your best friend is surveilling you, it's awesome.
I think that instead of the FBI agents, we should all get a little best friend watching us in. We should be able to befriend our FBI agents because that would make it more fun. Hi, if you're seeing us right now. But like when I was living with roommates, the surveillance by them, it was like I would have to do my dishes. Like I would have to clean. I would have to do my laundry because they would know if I wasn't. And I was like, that's embarrassing. So I want to be surveilled in a little bit of a way. I don't want to constant surveillance. I think I would be like, but yeah, they both sound very despicable to me, but I think I would also pick never being alone. What was it like in early quarantine with your roommates?
I mean, for the first part of quarantine, because you Chicago kicked us out. I wasn't actually in the dorms, but I was living in an apartment building that was owned by the university. So it was like still technically university housing. And so, I got kicked out. I had to move back to Maine. And then I lived there. So I was there for like probably 6 months. Because I was there for the end of the year, through the summer, maybe even 7 months. I don't know. I felt like I was there for so long. And then,
I've been home for like a year now.
I did get up to come back to Chicago in the fall.
Yeah, so. I feel like you had all kinds of experiences. You got kicked out. You got to go home. You got to come back. You got to go home again. You got to come back again. Now it's just things are happening again.
Yeah. No, for the first part, I think I had kind of, obviously at first I was doing really badly. And then I think I got into, I think there was actually a period of kind of clarity where I think I just was like, okay, I'm going to be here for a long time. And then I actually was doing weirdly well. Like I started running a lot.
Wow.
For the first time in my life. And that really helped my mental health. Sorry.
Wow.
And that was huge. And I was like that for a couple months. And then I think by the end of the summer, I had fallen out of that. Mm-hmm. But I was still able to be outside. And then school started again. So then it was kind of like, okay, something new again, at least to like get me going. And I was back in Chicago. But then post Thanksgiving, I think that was then when it got dark for a while through kind of, you know, through like February.
Winter in a pandemic in a cold place does not sound very fun.
No, it was freezing. There's so much snow, and I never left. There would be full, like I would go like 5 days without leaving.
I'm kind of having this period right now where, because I've been here the past year, like I was in Chicago until my lease ended in June. And then mm-hmm. I came back here and I've been here for a year now. I have a date to move out. But in that time, I'm like doing things in the next month. And it's very frightening to me. Like the fact that all these things are suddenly happening and there's not like a like easy way back in or like someone holding my hand to get back in it. Cause I've been doing the same thing for a year, which is nothing. Well, not nothing, but no like institutionalized changes. It's very frightening.
No, that's exciting though. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. I'm very excited. And I'm going to New York in 3 weeks So that'll be fun.
Wait, when are you going? Oh my God, because I'll overlap with you.
Oh, fun. We can hang out.
Yeah, we can hang out. Me and Anne are going to be there.
Oh, fun. Are you just like hanging out? Are you visiting someone or are you just going?
Yeah, we're seeing our, like, Anne has friends there. I have friends there. So we're like, we're both seeing our friends from like home and stuff. And then we're also seeing random people who we like had on our Zoom show and stuff like that who we want to meet. Yeah.
I feel like your Zoom show built such a little community. And I thought it was like so.
and it built love.
Did it?
Well, I mean, there was a couple that formed. I don't know if you heard about it. From Breakout Room. I'm talking about you.
Oh, well, I didn't meet him through Breakout Room, but I guess we are both part of the Breakout Room community, Breakout Room cinematic universe.
Oh, you think it was because of Twitter, not because of Breakout Room?
That I met him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he said the one show that he didn't watch was the one that I was on.
So it wasn't our show, but it was me. Let's give it up. Yeah.
It's you. And I you were the character endorsement. So I was like random boy on the internet, and I saw that you knew each other, and I was like, okay, person from real life knows him and like likes him, so check mark, that's fine for me to do, and I'm not getting involved with a serial killer on the internet.
Right. Yeah.
Which he never gave me serial killer on the internet vibes, but you gotta be safe, you know, so you were the go-ahead for me.
Woohoo. I feel bad because I feel like in the time that you have met, I have seen both of you. Or no.
You've only seen him.
I guess I haven't seen, I've only seen him. But I feel bad that I've seen him and you haven't.
Yeah, well, we can all see each other when I'm in New York.
Yeah, oh, is he gonna, is he
I'm gonna see him, and that's why I'm going to New York. I'm gonna see him in 3 weeks after 7-8 months of talking.
That's really insane.
If you told me that I would do this like a year ago, I'd be like, you're fucking crazy. Because it's so not me to have a long distance internet romance. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see him. But I feel like since I've booked the ticket, time has moved so slowly. And it's like, I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to come back. I'm going to move. Like that all happening at once just is very frightening to me, but it is also exciting.
Yeah, that's gonna, I feel like you're gonna crash after it happens, but like in the moment, you're gonna be like riding high.
And I think that's fine.
Cause I feel like recently it's been very much like, I'll do something I haven't done in a year and I like won't be able to process it. And then like it will end, and maybe that night or later that day, I'll like realize what just happened.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, ah, it's been a year, you know?
Truth or dare? Truth or dare?
All right, Leva, truth or dare?
truth.
Okay. Who's the most interesting person who's ever slid into your DMs? Like anyone notable? Fun.
Oh my God, are you going straight? Oh no. Oh no. Can I say I really don't can I say someone who messaged me a compliment?
Yeah.
Which I thought was really nice. Yeah. And it wasn't romantic.
Yeah.
What? Caleb Huron messaged me a long time ago. I think said hey, and actually I could be wrong. I could have been the one, but I think it was him. And he said, "Hey, I'm in Chicago. We should be friends." That's how I remember it. Maybe we messaged about something else first, or maybe we were talking about whatever. But that was really sweet. And then we did hang out and it was really fun. And, you know, now, you know, he's my friend. And so that was like, that was so nice. And I was I had watched him perform at I.O. when I worked there. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was so funny, and he was friends with people who I loved. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would say Caleb.
It's fun. That's fun that you made an oomph an IRL.
Every time that's happened, I feel lucky, because I feel like every person who I've met, I wasn't on Tumblr. I also like never saw myself really making friends online. Mm-hmm. But I think as I've become clinically addicted to social media,
we all are though.
I have spent more time also just talking to people, and I feel like everyone I've met from, I feel like I make most of my friends through Twitter. I have really enjoyed when we hung out in person.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's so lucky. I hope that streak, you know.
Continues,
yeah, yeah.
I feel like when I go to New York, I'm going to meet a lot of my Twitter friends in person, and that's exciting too.
Yeah, yeah.
I've met like one or two in LA so far, and that's been fun. But it's really has been such a like interesting little social outlet in the pandemic, because it's like I can't see anyone anyway, so might as well make friends with people that I can't see.
It's an age old tradition. I was in a class called Queer Letters, and full romances would start from just like someone, like we read this one, we would read a lot of like exchanges between gay people writing letters to each other, and like the, you know, 18 and 1900s and stuff. And one of them was, they would start from like, they read a book that they liked, and they would start like writing to the author. Mm-hmm. And then they would become lovers from that, and they didn't even see each other, and it would just be writing, and then they'd like eventually.
That's so gay. I love
so
it.
So it's like, this is, you know, I feel like people are like, it's so crazy to me. Like, we've been doing this, you know, I don't know.
Especially on Twitter, when you like kind of already know a lot about a person because of what they post and like whatever, it does just feel like natural to make friends that way. But I remember like back in the day, there were like all those like famous lesbians, you know what I mean, from YouTube and stuff. And they all met online, and they were like, their relationships were like followed, and people were obsessed with them. And then they all broke up, and it was like chaos. But, you know, I remember them. Yeah. All right. Do you want to truth or dare me?
Okay. Truth or dare. Truth or dare.
I'll do a dare.
Okay. I dare you to tug.
Chug
that drink. Yes. Okay. What is it? Coffee?
It's really watered down coffee. All right. Okay.
Chug that watery coffee. Listeners, oh my god.
I gotta take my glasses off for this because I need space.
Yeah, take off the Warby Parkers. Okay. Chug, 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 chug. Yeah. Woo! Drain it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yummy, that looks good. Delicious.
What a burst of caffeine to my system. All right.
Also, it wasn't that much, by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't that much.
People, it was like 0.75 of an inch. Full. I'm not inhumane. I wouldn't make someone.
Truth or dare.
Truth again.
Okay. What's the weirdest thing you've done while your roommates were home?
I think the most humiliating thing I've done is when I just like film myself making a video. Mm-hmm. Like I'll be like putting on wigs. I actually only have one wig in here. And
you have so like, many wigs. I remember you made that one Zoom video of like kids in Zoom class, and I was just, wow, the amount of wigs that you have, and enviable.
Yeah, they were left over from the reason I had. So that was when I was home. My parents once had a birthday party where they all dressed up as their friend and surprised her. And so they got a bunch of different like brown and ginger wigs because she has kind of like brownish red hair. And so they have this like wigs that they just like kept. And then also there's some wigs from like, I don't know, like my sister's Halloween costume or something. I don't know why we kept them all, but they're just in our basement. And so that's why, that's where they came from. That's the origin story.
That party concept is very fun. Dressing up like your friend, everyone dressing up like them.
I know. And surprising them. We're trying right now. My apartment wants to host a small, you know, vaccinated gathering. Now that most of us, our friends, are vaccinated. And so we've been trying to come up with a hyper specific theme. Like, that is a great theme.
Yeah.
And we haven't found, this is really anticlimactic, we haven't found one yet. We're still looking. Please write to us if you have an idea. It's really important to have household wigs. Wigs are a huge part of, wigs make a home, a house a home.
Yes, truly. My only wig here is my blonde one that I got to be Tom Laren. So wow. That's like a, you know, that's a, I think it's like kind of cursed. That's my only wig. I need to like get some more fun wigs.
They shed. Wig upkeep is huge. I've never properly taken care of a wig. I feel like every wig that is in the house is knotted, looks bad. Like, yeah, I do not treat them with care.
Most wigs that you just buy for like fun come to you also very disgusting. Like, they're all folded up and like crinkled, and you have to like brush out their hair and like make them pretty again.
Okay, do it.
I'll do truth.
What? What is something you're grateful for this week?
I'm grateful.
This is, I couldn't, I could not think of this. I could not think of one.
I'm grateful for the fact that like I'm vaccinated now and a lot of my friends are, and so I can like see them again, because I spent a lot of time this week with people who I haven't seen in so long, and it was very nice. It was like really scary to me. It was like terrifying to do social interaction again, but it was really nice to see my friends. And I'm also grateful for like food that tastes good, you know.
I'm so grateful for that, always.
So, yeah. All right.
Cute.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
I want you to read me your YouTube history.
Oh my God. Okay, here we go. Okay, I mean, okay, I watched the Lil Nas episode of the Anya Taylor-Joy episode of SNL. So first of all, last night. So there's a ton of those clips. Then it's a trailer to a BBC show that I want to watch called The Pursuit of Love.
Okay.
That just came out and it's not out, I don't think, in the US yet. Then it's an Angel Olsen music video. The new one that just came out.
These are all pretty normal. You're not getting anything weird here, and I'm impressed.
And then it's a bunch of Tiny Desk concerts.
Oh, that's cute.
Because the other night, Priya and I watched a bunch of Tiny Desk concerts. It's Angel Olsen, and then Fleet Foxes, and then Annie DeFranco.
Yeah.
And then a Glass Animals music video. And I watch a lot of music videos. And then it's a bunch of interviews with, I tend to like go in on someone.
Yeah.
I watch like a bunch. So then it's a bunch of Olivia Rodrigo interviews and the Olivia Rodrigo SNL performance. Okay, truth or dare?
Oh, I'll do a dare.
I dare you to, who was the last person what was the last time that you like emoji reacted to a story on Instagram?
When was the last time I did it? I don't know. Yeah. I don't ever really do it.
What? You don't do, I'm big on the flame. I like to flame react.
Okay. Well, you've never flame reacted me before.
I feel like you don't post that much on your, I feel like when you post on your story, Athlete Mia. That's you know what? You caught me.
Okay.
You caught me doing, you caught me, you know what, not doing my due diligence. You know, I'm not doing enough flame reacting. And I need to do it more. And I need to really, really spread it to everyone.
Yeah.
I should start flame reacting to just every single story.
I think that would make, see, I think that's taking it a little too far.
That would make people uncomfortable.
See, I still want to be special, you know, but not, yeah.
I'll even do a specific, you know how you can do like even other kinds of, I'll go to, and I'll do like sparkle react.
Ooh, sparkle react.
You know, like you get your own, you get your
okay.
own.
Okay, fun. Okay, great. I'm looking forward to it. But what did you want me to do?
Okay. Post a poll.
Okay. Of what?
Of say this is urgent. This is urgent. Need advice. Stat. Urgent. Should I binge Friends or How I Met Your Mother?
This is urgent. Need advice. Stat. Okay, wait.
Yeah. It's actually pretty normal. I thought it would be like, I'm like, it's.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me. Is there anything that you want to, you know, impart upon the listeners?
You know what? I just want to say, I love you guys, and I love you, Yamini. It was so nice to catch up with you, and I hope we can
see each other soon. Let's hang out. Yes, I love you too.
Let's hang out in Washington Square Park.
We could just pretend that we're two little NYU buddies.
Yeah,
you know, so much fun. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. See you next time. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining our pillow fight. See you next time. Pillow Fight is a production by me, Yamini Nambimadam, with music by Greer Baxter.
Follow Big Comedy on social media at I Love Big Comedy.